Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama. Smooth Drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F, the N-word. Tonight, I am joined by the big homie, A. Scott, the creator of Juan and Phil and Superhood. So if you want to holler at us, 347-826-7435 is that call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And y'all know, I know some of y'all is a little scared to call in, so hit me up, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, if you want to email me your questions, comments, concerns. And as my co-host, who is out right now with his vagina-eating accident neck. Yeah, he had a vagina-eating accident.
A vagina-eating accident?
Yeah, okay. And his neck was messed up. he would say, send your pictures too, and I'm sure Age would appreciate a picture. So also, forward it to you, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
And if you're listening live right now, jump into the chat room if you got a question, comment, concern. Also, in the meantime,
what's up, guys?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's up? What's up? Hi, Fred.
My name ain't Fred.
Yeah. Smooth Drama.
Yeah.
It but it scared me like that. I mean,
yeah, he just,
me and my dude, we go way back, and you call me Adrian. That's cool.
Yeah, we not. I'm not going to call you Adrian.
Please don't.
Think of Rocky.
Like, Adrian! Yeah. I got over that by third grade.
Yeah.
That's where age came from.
That's not for you.
Yeah. That's where age came from. Like, that's really,
right.
That's where, and then, we don't want to get into those spill, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I know that had to be terrible for you, because you have little kids just like, yo, Adrian. Like,
man, you know what, I'll just say this, Drama, like, the fact that you're my dude, I would get in depth and personal. Like,
say things here,
like, even the whole, yeah, it did suck. That's why even have a name like Adrian as a young dude trying to be like this, you know, you want to be that dude in school, and you have a name that's symbolic. Well, females have your name too.
Right.
So that was where age came from. I actually told my third grade teacher, like, call her Adrian and call me Age. And if you don't call me Age, I'm not even going to respond to it.
I got
so,
you. But I guess I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, no, I am too. No. Hi, what up, Drama?
What we want to do here is we want to tell y'all.
Tell them.
Mr. Scott here is the creator of Juan and Phil. Now, Juan and Phil is cartoon characters that you created, hip-hop characters. Now, we ain't going to get in depth, but we want y'all to know that he has created some wonderfuls. And
can we curse here?
We can curse here.
We can say fuck,
man,
cunt, son of a bitch, God damn it.
I cuss all the time.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But if we're going to curse, at least make it mean for something. So.
Yeah, it's always meaningful.
Anyway.
I wasn't going to cuss.
I know.
Yeah.
You will. I like your hat, though.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know if the listeners out there have visual, too, but, you know, you guys are missing out right now.
That is so dope.
But the video.
We got a video. We're going to post it on Facebook, Twitter. We're going to post it everywhere.
Some of this should go live. I'm going to set up a live on my Facebook.
But
then this is part of a documentary I'm shooting, too. So
It's the documentary, y'all.
Are y'all ready
for a documentary?
Documentary.
Here
it is, bro. Well, I'm about to set up the live shit right here.
All
right.
Dude. So, check it out. Why are we doing that? We won't talk Juan and Phil here for a second.
Okay, let's
we gonna talk a little R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
Now I mean I know everybody knows him for you know, stepping in the name of love and all these other great songs that he's done. And then he's also known for peeing on teenagers.
Peeing on teenagers. Yeah. Peeing on teenagers.
So my question is, it's come out that he's got a 19-year-old girlfriend. He's got a 19-year-old girlfriend now.
Uh-huh.
So, the question being this. Now, I know you have your opinion about it, and I've got my opinion about it. What you got to say? I mean, I don't care. I think it's funny, though, that there's a...
it's a sad... you know what, though? I'm like this, bro. Like, so, first and foremost, all those I'm just trying to set up the camera. But we are now live on Facebook. So they're experiencing, so maybe they should. Okay, and that camera's
just,
there.
Just start crying. You get to see our faces that are meant for radio live. I mean,
okay, let's start the whole thing over. Go.
No, we don't start
right, so, bing, 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 bing. Hey, everyone. Mm-hmm. Somebody Smooth Drama Show. This is a podcast, and I've been invited to be at Smooth Drama Show, and we're gonna catch up to speed. We talked about
I just wanted to talk about R. Kelly. Because you're the creator of Wine and Film, and we're gonna get into Wine and Film.
R. Kelly. I'm gonna just type this. Boondocks episode on R. Kelly was genius because that is a sick man who, is he sick? I mean, I'm not judging. I mean, he just got away with it. Like, you peeing
I guess it's something for everybody. If you're predisposed to peeing on people, I guess I can't hate on that. If they're happy being peed on.
Peed on?
Yeah, I mean, supposedly, I found out from wrestlers that pee is like sterile, so I guess it's no big deal.
When you have athlete foot, and your feet are irritated, it's a good thing to pee on your feet, because the pee, like, eats at the acid and the, and I kid you fucking not. That's some shit I know that can't. Not to say I pee on my feet, but
you just
never
said
know.
You
I didn't say
feet.
I did.
You kind of did.
Just, bro. hey, you know what? I'm going to just like this. Okay, so check this out. I'm going to say this, because I'm going to be real with you, Smooth Drama.
All right.
A black man's art career will be solidified by things he say on video and things he do. It will haunt him 30 to 40 years from now. So even though I love you to death and you're my brother, I'm going to say everything on video, because y'all motherfuckers ain't going to say I'm like fucking popping pills popping pills and girls' drinks, and when I'm trying to buy NBC,
that's
what I'm saying. Or 40 years from now, when I'm trying to fucking buy MTV, motherfuckers ain't gonna come to this video and be like, hey, he was talking about peeing on his feet. It's not selling for
you.
Not 40 years.
Peeing on your feet. How bad is that?
I'm just saying, as we do this video right here, I'm thinking about the lawyers looking at the video 5 years from now.
Yeah,
we can't sell him MTV because
he said he peed on his feet and allegedly he may be peeing on others.
So we can't, even though he got the money to buy MTV, him and NPC, bitches.
Hold on.
Oh!
But wouldn't that be different from drugging women and peeing on their feet if you're peeing on your own feet? I mean, because actually, I'm thinking that the athlete's foot is worse than talking about I'm drugging women and peeing on their feet because I'm trying to cure them of athlete's feet. I mean, all of this sounds kind of a little crazy.
It all sounds crazy, but, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, what comes with fame, like Pee Wee Herman. He goes to the adult porn shop.
Got a bum rap.
Yeah, and he got caught jacking off in a porn shop.
What?
And lost his career.
Yeah, but he grown.
It's a fine. That's a fine line. Like, you know,
ain't
as
no
artist,
fine line. Look,
well,
hold on, man.
Hold
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Wait, hold up.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
His time. He didn't have no little kid. He ain't pee on nobody else.
He is
a man on his own time. He's a grown ass man.
Yeah.
He's guilty of jacking off.
Yeah, in a porn shop.
Right. That's what porn shops are.
So that's what I'm saying. And you know what, though? Jokes aside. I am a real goofy guy on the exterior, but on the interior, I'm really strategic.
A porn shop.
And I go to porn shops too. But, like, I'm really strategic on my art shit. Like, I kind of look at it like the 50 Cent mentality. Like, 50 Cent, you get caught up in the tattoos and the thug attitude, and that motherfucker will sign a deal behind you and get some on some smart shit. Like, you wouldn't even think of that. 50 did that? But, like, I guess what I'm like, I look at the artists before me a lot, and I study the artists before me a lot. I try to see where they...
So who's your motivators when you talk about looking at the artist before you? Who's the one that you was like?
Well, off top, you know, it's seriously me being Oakland, California, bitches. Oakland, California.
Why they got me, bitches?
I'm just saying, that's just me. That's how I talk. Excuse me, guys. I talk like this at my podcast, which I spend.
Bitches.
I know. I'm sorry.
Bitches.
I'm sorry. I do a podcast with Radio for the World. Duck Soup Radio every other Wednesday. And I talk.
Show?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like JJ Fat. No. Wrecking Crew. No, but I'm just saying, that's how I talk to my listeners over there. But excuse me, guys. I don't mean no disrespect.
Yeah,
I love you all.
I'm just saying. I've said bitches.
I just get crazy.
As a matter of fact,
it's a hat, bro.
I'm going to say this. There's a guy, Bubba from the Backwoods Show. I want to send a special shout out to Bubba. Bubba has called into my show 4, 5, 6 times, right? Now,
there's guys tuned in on Facebook. It's really cool. They're saying, will you play some music and will you be our friend?
Yeah.
Tune in. What's the website? I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Oh, they can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/smoothdrama.
Get that. Boom.
Right.
Repeat that backwards.
Bubba called in unsolicited. Mm-hmm. Now, I tried to be diplomatic. I said, look, when Bubba was in the alley, you remember when we was in Modesto and we walked by the alley and Bubba was in the alley and he was like sucking on dick and we didn't stop. We said, oh, that's Bubba from the back alley show sucking on dick in the alley. And we didn't stop him. We was like, oh, look at Bubba. Do your thing. Right.
Cool.
Just mouthful of dick. But we didn't stop him. He still called my show. I'm like, Bubba, I don't want to talk to you. Do your Backwoods show. See, I found out why, one, he was in the alley, and two.
Sucking dick?
Yeah, sucking dick. He pays crackheads to suck their dick.
I'm sure.
Because raccoons and bears in the backwoods didn't want to fuck with him.
Bro, hold it.
Yeah.
I just did my show like 2 days ago, and I'm like, I'm still kind of open on it. You're like kind of like, you're wild, bro. Like,
no,
I'm thinking of the raccoon.
Okay. Because raccoons and bears is like, Bubba, we can't fuck with you no more. Leave us alone.
Okay.
We don't want you sucking our dicks no more. You're going to have to go to the city. So, when we were in Modesto and he was in the alley sucking it up, that's how he got there, because he has to pay crackheads to suck their dick. He buys crack for them, and they... But I've heard from several crackheads whose dicks he has sucked that they went to rehab.
Okay.
It was like Bubba sucking their dick made them realize crack was not for them any longer.
That's some
insight. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so if you listening, Bubba, and you decide you want to call into the show again, think better. Fuck you, Bubba.
Fuck you, Bubba.
And everything you stand
but
for.
But if you're sucking dick in the alley for crack, hopefully.
No, not for crack. He gives crack to the crackhead so he can suck their dick.
Oh, my
yes.
man. He's not the
right.
sucky. He's the sucker.
Right.
Oh, I
always
get it.
Always been the sucker.
Duh.
Right. So do not
dummy.
Call my show, Bubba.
Don't call.
Do not
Bubba.
Anymore. You called four,
okay, okay.
five, six times. No,
Bubba, no more calling.
Nothing.
Okay, Bubba.
You call
Bubba.
Me, and I'm going to tell the real story about you and that
sucking
sex tape with them raccoons and bears. It's coming.
But
yeah.
So, other shit, brother. So... My name is H, and after the dick sucking combo,
we're gonna go on break.
We're gonna go on break.
We're gonna go on break.
We're gonna break.
This is Matt Stalley, Petrin Hill Peonies.
Teacher, Mr. Chan, He was a Japanese guy, but he was a really cool guy. Oh yeah, so I don't mean to, anyway. So in the art class for final, he had everyone draw and everyone do stuff, but then for my art assignment, I knew I could just draw something and give it to him in a day. He was just like, your final is to do a 7-page comic book. So long story short, I was just like, well, could it be about anything? Is that anything? So I went home, drew a comic book called Mac Mouse. It was Mickey Mouse that was like a gangster, right? So it was cool. Got the paperback, the book, and I got it. And then I got the A. And then when I took the paperback to my desk, my neighbor next to me was like, yo, can I see a comic? I was like, sure. So he's looking at it. He's like, oh, shit, that's kind of cool. Like, and then my other neighbor was like, can I see it? So then my other neighbor was looking at it. And so then I got an idea. I was just like, everyone's kind of digging my book. Let me go copy it and try to sell it. So I went to my counselor, my high school counselor. He wasn't doing shit, anything else for me anyway. So he copies my book on the school copier, gives me like 10 copies. I sell them for 50 cents a copy. I make $5. I was like, oh, I like this. So I took that $5, went to Burger King, and bought me a number 4 or whatever the fuck. And this is like Oakland Tech. Okay. I was with the new Burger King right across the street. So I was ding. This is the 12th grade idea. So I just, long story short, I drew up 6 books, 12 pages each, and drew some for 50 cents. Then like the 7th book was the last book, the end of Mac Mouse or some shit. And I sold it for $1. But I became the comic book guy. I was selling my comic books through the campus.
Right.
And then before you know, I started drawing for the school newspaper and the whole shit. So actually, I started that. And then, you know, getting to see my friends as I'm a young male, 20-ish, and I see all my friends pursue their thing, rapping and sports and all. I was just like, what's my thing? My thing is drawing. Okay, so if I draw, but I never could get anatomy down. I could never get superhero anatomy. Been trying to do that shit since 6th grade. Fuck, I can't draw like Marvel. But as I got older and appreciate alternative books like Gru and Cerebrus and, you know, all those like...
All the books that the listeners don't know.
Yeah. But these are great books because, right. I know, you know, they're drawn different. They're not like superhero shit.
Right.
So like...
Juan and Phil.
Boom.
Phillips from
yeah. That. And then, actually, I'm going to tell you guys a secret. Like, one and Phil started off as Wonder Joint and Fully Blunt.
No.
No. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
No, not that they look like blunt.
They started off like that. One had a flame, and then I put a hat on him.
Mm.
And, like, what I was doing with Wonder Joint Fully Blunt, it was actually doing well. And this is at a time where I was doing all the cons all the time. And the coolest thing about the con was, I made a relationship with Sergio Aragonés. Like, he's the Mad Magazine artist. So the first time I seen him at a con, I gave him a book, and I was just like, oh, Sergio. So long story short, over the years of doing cons, I always look forward to seeing Sergio. And Sergio, at the end of the con, like on a Sunday afternoon, shit's kind of slow. He would bring my book. I'll bring a book over to him. Give him one to keep, and then like he would sit down and break down another book. Like he would just like sketch over like this is cool, this could be better than, and I'd be like sitting there like crying in my seat this and that. But on the same note, that was the best thing about doing the art thing is meeting other artists.
Right. Now also as somebody who's in the industry now. You talk about meeting the other artists. You talk about Sergio.
Yeah.
So you've been doing Juan and Phil. So y'all know he's been doing Juan and Phil for over 20 years. So now you're at that point where, okay, Juan and Phil, you've got a graphic novel. You have your ideas for it going where?
Well, check this out. See that. Like, all right, so thank you, NPC. Because NPC really put me in a position, in National Press Comics, with my dude Smooth Drama and my dude Jay. Love them dudes, right? But, like, they really put me in a position because I just finished my two-month book tour yesterday, right? And I ended it in Benicia. And I see these guys doing comic books today and everyone's doing books, but, like,
Is it a lot of dudes doing comics though? See, and that's kind of, you know, the last conventions you look at. Not a lot of cats doing comics.
But not just that, just the convention, because, like, you know, I came into doing comic books before WonderCon even blew. Like, that shit was in Oakland, so it wasn't even that big. What I'm getting at is, I had to print up books and sell books on the corner. That is kind of how I got big. Like, I mean,
talk about that
is more, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
uh-huh.
Because you're a guy, and you know it works because you're in the classroom and everybody's buying your books. But now all of a sudden you go and say you've tried to get with different comic book publishers. How did that go?
You know, I'm gonna tell like this, bro. I'm gonna keep that shit 100. I feel like these motherfuckers in the comic book industry thought I would fizzle out. And be like, oh, this dude, he doesn't have the last thing. And he's the savviness to stay relevant and you know, like, I don't know, man. It's you have no idea. It's really cutthroat. But once again, I have nothing but great shit to say about NPC and them dudes, because they kind of helped me just stay afloat, you know? So,
all right. So now, I mean, you're talking about staying afloat, and you have your book Superhood, and
yes,
you know you're working on book 3. Tell the people about Superhood.
So, one and Phil. Okay.
I guess getting ahead of myself. What is Juan and Phil?
Juan and Phil started. Okay, Juan and Phil. When I started drawing, one of the joint in Philly Blunt. It was just like I made small two pieces of paper, folded in the center and stapled, and draw it up, and then make 50 or 100 copies, and then go to like any place in the Bay Area.
I mean,
Joint and Philly Blunt, or like a Ren and Stimpy to the world of hip hop, or like a dumb duo cartoon to the world of hip hop. And even though the art always hasn't been like good, like it was always a topic. I knew I was gonna get better.
Yeah, but I think you're underselling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I haven't seen anybody who's like, yeah, man, that's trash.
Yeah,
remember, it is improved.
Yeah,
but your art from the beginning to the end, it wasn't terrible. I mean, don't tell yourself.
It wasn't terrible. But then on the same note, like I've never like I'm like watching Sergio Aragonés do his thing. He always stayed to his formula, like how he drew, you could tell Sergio. So that's the same thing with my like, but it was always the topic matter. Because another thing is, I never wanted to do a comic or draw comics and just draw them. Like, I wanted to do art relevant to this generation.
Right.
So that's why.
Attacking the social topics, which is why you're Juan and Phil, you know, as far as hip hop. Oils, they talked about the rappers of the generation, what was whack, what they didn't think was whack.
Yeah. So, it's been good. It's been really good, man. I can't even lie, bro. You know, I mean, like I said, I've been fortunate enough to have this much success. And then, so, from Wonderfield has...
To Superhood. Now, to Superhood is... the exact opposite of Juan and Phil.
Yes.
Superhood is superheroes. Superheroes.
Yes.
In the hood.
Yes. All right. So Juan and Phil. Juan and Phil is my jokey jokes, goofy stuff. And so with Superhood is like an X-Men. If X-Men is about kids that can go to school for their superpowers, what about the kids that can't go to school, right? And this is about to cut off, so I'm about to just cut this off. Right, there it is. My phone, my body's about to die. Anyway, thank you guys, my Facebook listeners and watchers. My phone's about to die, but anyway. So, Superhood is about kids that have powers but can't go to school for it. So, what it feels my Scoofy take on comics, Superhood is my standard superhero thing in comics. And, like, I'm trying to use the comic book thing, because I don't even draw Superhood. I just write it. So I can't draw. Like, I know I'm, that's not, I don't want to draw in a cartoony way.
Well, see, here's the point on this. Now, you talk about Superhood is your take about characters who can't go to school.
Exactly.
And I think it's important that we differentiate it, because in reality, we talk about black people as disenfranchised people. So when you talk about superheroes, Superhood are disenfranchised black teens.
Yeah, same thing.
Can't be accepted by anybody. No. Don't want to be accepted by the establishment.
No, and then, you know, so right now I'm working hard on Superhood. I'll be going to work on Superhood when I go home tonight. And, I'm planning for Superhood 3 to be at April. And then, like, I also want to just say Smooth Drama is a dope-ass writer. Because I sit, as we're doing these conventions, like, we was in Modesto, and I come, like I said, I'm the biggest goofball on the exterior. Like, I'm farting and jokes, whatever. But on the low, I'm super, like, in tune with what's going on, and I really, like, listen.
And I didn't have to pay him that much to
say
that.
So what I'm saying, like, while we're at the booth, Smooth was just telling me all these concepts on characters, and we're talking Superhood. So Superhood 3 is also going to be I'm running with Superhood. Like, that's my new shit. Like, I'm running Superhood. When I feel like it's graduating, moving on to some next level, and it's time for me to shake Superhood up a little. Like, that's my second child.
Okay.
And this is really good, so...
Because, you know, it's funny you said that, because it's like Wanda Fields, your first child.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you're overprotective.
And
now you have Superhood.
Yeah,
and you got a little experience.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to do some stuff that I've never done.
Oh, money. So let me tell you about Superhood. See, Superhood, like I said, I write it. Like you said, doing things I've never done. My boy Alan Angel is doing the art, 28 pages, is really incredible. I'm doing the backgrounds on it and the lettering. But then on the low low, I can tell you
the low low.
I got my boy Sinclair, which is this graphic artist, on the cover. And it's gonna be a wraparound and it's gonna be incredible. And I'm comparing the effort to this, like, on some Alan Moore Watchmen type shit. Like, I'm seriously, like, every panel, every page is like, baby this shit, bro. Baby it, like. So, it's like, it's incredible. It's really coming together. So, looking forward to it.
Well, all right. So, we done talking about Superhood here.
And so, Wonderfield, Super, all that comic book shit, keeping it 100, all the comic book shit I do is for bigger things. I got ideas for a love story. I want to just do literature.
Do a love story.
I got 2 children's books in the library already.
Yeah. Well, no,
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to get into books and horror and literature.
Do a love story.
Yeah.
Just walking down the street, holding hands.
I want to be known as one of those violent dudes, like one of the dudes, man.
Versatile, you show your versatility.
On the low, I'm talking to this artist from Sacramento who does anime, Caitlin Jane, and I'm pitching a story to her. I'm damn near about to drive a sack and have a coffee with her to get her on board. Come on, Caitlin. Fuck with your boy. No.
We go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah,
I got you.
And like, and I got this other title I've done years ago, Tell the Hip Hop Horror.
Okay.
And I want to like do that again.
Okay. Well, we look forward to seeing it. In the meantime,
I'm sorry.
I'm beside myself most of the time. Yeah. I'm beside myself half the time, but we want to go there.
Okay.
Now I want to talk about blackface.
Blackface.
You know, some folks associate. You know, when people think of blackface, they think of the old days where you had those minstrel shows and you get the white dude.
Hello, my baby.
And
hello,
yourself,
my daughter.
Right, and the red
it's
lipstick.
Girl.
Right. But see, I want to talk about the modern day blackface, which is Riri as Iron Man, Miles Morales as Spider-Man, Miss Marvel. Superman is black now on Earth 2. And it used to be Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy. Now it's Devil Dinosaur and Moon Girl, which is a black girl. Batwing, Mr. Terrific, Green Lantern is a woman. And, you know, basically what we're talking about here are white characters. And in the name of diversity's sake, you paint some black on them. And then, oh, there it is. You wanted black characters? Boom, we got you black characters. And I'm like, to me, that's blackface. I mean,
you know, I feel like it's a slow creeper. Like, motherfucker's going to read it and be like, oh, this is kind of thick. It should win. So, why? Because it's an authentic hip-hop thing. And comic books are needing more new energy, new flavor. So, for Marvel and DC to paint these established characters white or, I mean, black or what, just reimagine. It's the same 12 characters over and now you got Green Hulk, then you got Red Hulk, then you got Silver Hulk, and then you got like fucking. It's just weird. But the black thing to appeal to black people, you know, it's like if you're an artist out there, you should be able to smell blood right now because Marvel and DC are concentrating so much on their movies that they're doing dumb shit in their books. So it's a good time to make an authentic book on something.
Right.
Else.
And I think that was kind of my point because, you know, they say that, oh, you can't do it. But see, I remember Static Shock. Static Shock won the Daytime Emmy Award 2004 and the Humanities Prize in the Children's Animation category. Ran for 5 years, was very popular. They bought the rights to Static Shock, which is the original character, and have done nothing with him. He's not in the Titans. He's not in the Teen Titans. Now, it's proven that this character was popular with kids. It ran for 5 seasons, doing nothing with it. Another case in point to an original character, Blade. Blade was the worst character in the 70s, Tomb of Dracula. He was awful. Wesley Snipes writes him, gets it done, and they write it correctly. Blade 1 did $131.2 million. Blade 2 did $155 million. Blade 3 was terrible and did $128.9 million. Altogether, that's $415.1 million for an original black character. So when I see them talking about, oh, well, people maybe they'll be resistant to an independent character, a new character, I say bullshit. Because we see that it works.
So that's on the number sense. Obviously, financially, it's going to work.
Numbers
don't lie, right? But then check this out. As you and Jay mentioned, what up, Jay, Jamil? When you guys did where did you guys just come from? Like, over the weekend? Last week?
We were in Indianapolis.
Yeah, how the kids look up to you guys. How the kids look, like, at the cons. That's the greatest feeling is when the kids look at you and be like, oh, like, They did
well,
it.
Well, and not only looking at us, they're looking at the banners with heroes that look like him that they can relate to.
Yes, yes.
And I think it's important we say this, because when we were into the superhero stuff when we were growing up, we didn't go into the comic book store talking about, oh, we looking for some white comics or we looking for some black comics. We just read comics.
Yes, we did.
You know, and what they do now is they try to put you in the box and say, oh, you're doing black comics. No, we do comics. We didn't say coming up, oh, I'm reading Thor. I like Thor because it's a white comic and I want to associate myself with white people because being diverse. No, I like the character. I like the book. And I think that's important. It's something that you know, you hear that box that they try to put you, oh, you're doing black comics. No, we're doing comics.
And, you know, it's funny because one is white, Phil is brown, and I've never associated them to race. But
right.
People read them, they kind of like
read
say,
that
oh,
bullshit.
They're like, oh, one is white, one is black. And I'm like,
no,
that's nothing. But, like, that's why I kind of write the hip-hop thing, because hip-hop transcends white, you know, race. So, but you're absolutely right.
It used to. On that note, we gonna go on break. This is the homie Kali.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I used to love her.
Women so pretty.
Yeah.
Women so pretty.
Tell you a little love story.
Women so pretty. We
used to tell late night stories, morning to noon. The only one that keep me company with nothing to do. I always said I never talked to be clever, but when my woman finally introduced me, I was like, whatever. Never thought we'd be together so long. Sharing you with others, but staying with you when I knew it was wrong. I didn't mind you reminding reality. When my mom found we were fucking around, she got mad at me. So what though? We was just having some fun. At least I wasn't out banging and robbing people with guns. She brought me peace, but she also held me back. The thing I loved to see was easy. Always had her in the sack with movie calls, late nights in my drawers, waking in the middle for just a little. Whenever do we call? In my drawers after licking it down, to be with light, and I can pick her up from all over town. Not a hooker, but you know I had to give up the soul. No shame, spent my money on that high class show. You know me, homie, only fuck with the best. But because the money troubles, I'll be left with stress. Yeah. But sooner or later, people knew, cause they could tell. I always had a sort of spark in my eye. People jealous off the fellas, cause they knew that she was fly. Eventually, I had her running with the cops. I was tested, got arrested, and I knew I had to stop. Hesitated, but separated for now. And I found an alternative to making me proud. I turned to drinking, I was thinking might as well. But I always had to try and block a beautiful spell. We had a special bond, picked them over any blind. Cause our connection often took me many steps beyond. It hurt to see her in the hands of another. Even at home, I caught her in the garage of my older brother. Our good times meant nothing to her. Apparently, to me, it did, so my memory's still a blur. Things changed, it was easier to see her settle down in the severity to see me bring her tears. I'm seeing clear, trying to get my head straight. But whenever she comes around, I'm feeling like our first date.
But eventually I decided to stop. But when I need to get focused, into I need to stop. I'm feeling better, so stop listening to this. I have a dream when I get high, and I wake up on this. It's so rare, I thought I spoke, but I didn't. I used to love my every day, but I've been sober for a minute. I had to quit it, never really committed. So since I knew I had a problem, it's my way to admit it.
Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That's your host, Mr. F the N-word. That was the homie, Kali.
I like your hook, bro.
Yeah.
Smooth Drama.
I used to love her. I'm here with my main man, Age Scott. Doing that thing. And that hook was by my main man, Harold Whaley, who helped me start the show.
That's just him.
So, yeah. He aight.
Yeah.
If he listen, you aight, Harold.
That's
you aight. Not a lot, but you're all right.
But you know, that's what it's all about, is having the cojones to do your art. That's what's missing in this world today. Like, even if you're good or bad, if you have an art, God didn't give you a talent for you not to use it.
Exactly. Now, case in point, I don't know. I think you may have stepped away. It was one of the other comic book creators came by, and he's like, we sold out. Now, I wanted to see the other people with an original idea, because it was only like four people who made comic books in the whole building. You know, one of those things, and I complained about this, and it's something that I find it's like an abomination to me. Comic book convention where
there's no comics.
What part? It's like
what came with this.
Hip hop awards with no hip hop. It's like, no. And that's what hip hop is nowadays. It's that R&B rap shit scenario, bullshit scenario now. But, you know, comic book convention, it is like, nah, that's our shit. And, you know, I say our shit because I talk about with the nerds, my nerds out there listening, like, hold on.
What's up, nerds?
These fake cool motherfuckers trying to break into our shit. It's like, nah. And convention ain't for y'all. It ain't for y'all. It's for us. We read. You cool motherfuckers don't read shit.
And you know what? Like, that's why I did start at Wanna Feel as a hip hop hero. Wanna Feel the hip hop heroes, because as I started my career, I was just like, there's no hip hop books. Yeah. Right. I was just like, I should do one. And then not only do one, but I'm on a day doing the same book. And there was a time when everyone was saying hip hop is dead, and people like kind of almost like distancing themselves from hip hop. That was when I was dropping the most books. Like, I was just like, it's a great time because no one else wants to claim it. So when it feel, that was where a lot of the scenarios would come from, because they're like saving hip hop.
Well, I mean, but see, like the artist I played tonight, Stiley, Young Cat.
Yeah, good shit. Kali, all the music is good.
Right, Kali, Young Cat. You know that I know the cat, hip hop cat. You know, as a matter of fact, when I was talking about, yeah, you know, it's like, damn, hip hop ain't going nowhere because ain't no young cats. And you know, then I saw him at an Immortal Technique rip stage with hip hop, not that bullshit.
Yeah.
No auto tuning.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You write your own lyrics. I mean, you know, and I've since discovered there's a bunch of young cats out there.
You know what? Like, the mainstream is like the news. Like, they're going to tell you anything. Like, and
tell you nothing.
Oh, tell you exactly. And if you believe hip hop has definitely caught some bad breaks and it's been slow, but hip hop is never dead. Like, you know, it's funny, like, it's always those others who want to say art culture is dead, or
right.
like define art culture. Hip hop
right.
is never dead.
Right.
It's been
ours.
Well, it's always like, and you know what? Like, I mean, come on. Like, yeah, hip hop sucks ass on the radio.
Yeah.
On the underground, but it always does.
But then it always sucks ass on the radio.
So when people want to say hip hop is dead, and even when Nas made that album, and like that was a good album. And that's where I want to feel. That's where, actually, I'm going to keep it 100. I feel like hip hop is such a powerful tool that they try to belittle it. Like, all these men of this generation who spit rhymes and poetry, like, they want, like, hip hop, that's hip hop. Hip hop has inspired all these men and women of different nationalities to write great poetry, regardless if it's good or not. The fact that you're writing some raps because you want the love, and that shit is amazing, right? So
some of it's amazing.
Some of it is not amazing. But the fact that you want to enjoy this culture like that, but then on the same note, like, the power in hip hop, if you do, or if you are good and you say something, like the hip hop comic, with it being a hip hop comic instead of an album, it actually touches people, I think, a little bit differently, but it's still hip hop, the same as an album. But what I'm getting at is, we are in tune of this powerful tool. Like, we have it. We have hip hop.
It's
never gone away from us, but some of us just don't know how to use it right. And we're artists that people are listening to and watching. Like, we drop books, they read them. We make music. I mean, they may listen to it, or may not. But we're definitely stronger with books. But the fact that we have the people watching what we do, we can say some powerful things. And that's where I'm at with my hip-hop.
Well, I think it's important that, you know, like you said, we can say some powerful things. I think it's important to say some powerful things.
Yes.
I mean, the war, as you talked about, what they say about us, that war on our culture. What they want to say, how they want to try to dictate the narrative to us. Like, oh, hip-hop is dead, and then they'll perpetuate it. But what he was saying is, like, rhyme sayers, dudes that want to spit fire on the mic, they're fewer and far between. Not like, it used to be there's 1,000 cats that want to rip your head off.
But you know what, though? You know, that's cool on the lyric, on the beats and music, but, like, if we're talking about comic books and literature books, like, that's where I'm at. And, like, while I'm on some hip-hop and literature, I'm trying to really cover all angles and show people that it's, like, a true art form. And you could use it in journalism and writing and books. And, like, I want to rewrite Clockwork Orange with the hip-hop touch. I want to do my love story. And, like, what I'm saying is, we being of hip hop as long as we have
ladies, if you want to be down with Age's hip hop love story, he's looking.
No. Okay, well, you're so funny, but no, keep it real. Like, we've been so down with hip hop for so long, we know it's bigger than just music, and we can use it.
When you're talking about the undercover, not undercover, but underground comic book industry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's Marvel and DC who are like the big players.
You know what, bro? Check this out, bro. You know what? I'm going to keep it 100. I'm not even upset that when at San Diego just a couple weeks ago, when they have the black comic book panel, my name's not even mentioned ever. Or like, you know, when they have the, like, I guess the unsung artists in the Bay Area that have been killing it. And, like, they give, like, a little exposure. I see this, and I'm like, so I had my family barbecue, and my brother was just like, dude, you I don't never see you get, like, your props. Or, like, I don't know. It's not props I'm looking for, but.
No. Here's my point. Like, you was talking about the radio, mm-hmm. and you talking about Unsung. You know, even that show Unsung, they show popular artists. I'm like, that's not Unsung. Everybody knew them. Unsung to me is like we talk about the Black Lives Matter, and people always think like, oh, it's local. No, it's international, because it's like they had those protests in Ireland, Germany,
mm-hmm.
Scotland, South Africa, and just like that, we talk about our art. See, when we go anywhere, we get love. So to me, it ain't about the radio, because as we know, the real people buy our stuff.
And you say, yeah, and you say, you know, we get love wherever we go. Why? Because the people are hurt right now. Like, if you know your science on this art shit and this revolution and renaissance and shit, like, when the people back in the day were down and out, it was the artists that kept the people alive spiritually.
Exactly.
Because they made, and that's what we're at right now. Right. And like, you know, so I like dropping, I mean, the fact that people dig the art makes it where I gotta drop more shit.
Right. So in that vein, where can the people find you? If you want to look up age.
Okay, so I'm going to just say this. I am all. You hit me on HR Facebook, of course, and then NPC and Smooth Drama's my bro, so you could just find me through him. You know, I'll be in his fridge kicking it, you know,
yeah,
whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But, but I'm just saying, like, as an artist, I'm trying to really drop more art and be more visible. And
I'll tell y'all, like, not only looking up Age Scott on Facebook, or if you want to look him up through me, I might tell y'all for a price. You got to send me naked pictures, maybe.
Age Scott, Google him. You're so funny.
No,
make you sure you have a system.
Yes. NPCcomics.com, you can find him on there. You can see his face that's made for radio along with my face that's made for radio.
You can also Google me, AGESCOTT. And you know, this is the comic book.
You Googleable?
I'm Googleable.
All right.
Yeah, boy. I'm Googleable. I'm also dipping and dabbling in music right now. I got my, I also like, you know, mess around music and the beats and all. Black Bukowski 2, my second musical effort on the EP is going to be a downloadable experience. I'm sampling and looping a lot of Mini Rippleton live. It's so sick. It's so sick.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to leave my mark, dude. Like, when I pass away, I want my name to be remembered as one of the artists, dude, like one of the artists.
Well, look, it'll be like all the great ones, like, what's his name, J.R. Tolkien,
mm-hmm.
Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
People don't appreciate you till
you pass.
Gone.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, but see, on that same note, like, I'll say this. A lot of artists, there's a lot of people who draw way better than me, but they don't have the cojones to take their shit out the front door and experience the backlash of saying no, yes, whatever. Like,
right.
They don't have it. So, but the fact we have that, we could put off, even doing a podcast, people are actually afraid to even talk on a podcast. Oh, my God. But, you know, but what I'm saying is, as artists, you know, you can't really give a fuck now. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially now. Like, you have to.
You shouldn't give a fuck. If you have a gift,
you have to do
and
it.
You
have
to put your gift out there. It's like an obligation. Like, you have this talent.
You have to,
and if you're not showing it,
you're wasting your talent. So when people don't like my Facebook post because I'm posting about my convention over the con, I want to just say thank you guys for the hate.
Thanks for the hate.
I'm a hate lover.
Keeps you motivated, bro. Yeah, it keeps us both motivated. Hey, I want to thank you, man, for coming on the show. And of course, y'all, I'm gonna be on his show.
Yeah.
And
Duck Soup. Not this Wednesday, not next Thursday.
All right, and on
thank
that
you guys.
Note, thank my main man, Age Scott, for coming
thank
on here. I want to thank my listeners for listening, and I want to once again give that shout out to Bubba from the Backwoods. Keep them dicks out your mouth,
keep
Bubba.
Keep them dicks out your
keep
mouth,
keep them out. On that it's note, okay. I missed it after the N word. This was another Smooth Drama presentation, and we are out.
Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth.
She is the lady with her hands
up. Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
the move. Drama.